Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our meeting this evening. And I'd like to ask Jennifer to open us up in a word of prayer, if you would, Jen.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to come together and look at your precious word and talk about your wonderful gifts. And you have given us so much. Mm-hmm. You have rescued us from this world, and you have healed our hearts. And we trust you, Lord, to give us everything we need and have love in our lives. And we ask you, Lord, to give us your wisdom tonight and rightly dividing your word. Mm-hmm. Help our brother Bill as he teaches, and enlighten our minds with understanding. It's by your grace that we're able to understand your word, that you unlock the secrets of this word to us. And we pray for all those that are not with us tonight, that you'll keep them safe, mm-hmm. that you'll bless them and heal them. And thank you, Lord. And please come into our town, come into our city. And please send your holy angels and your Holy Spirit here and drive out the darkness.
That's right.
And help those who are lost, and help us to be merciful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, we will pray that the Holy Spirit opens up our ears and our hearts tonight so we can learn a little something more. I'm going to be using the Life Application Study Bible, a New International Version, this evening. And of course, everybody has, probably each one in here has a different translation. So that's good. We'll get some different ideas, I think, and more embellishment that way, rather than just using one particular Bible. As I've always said, I love to get together with you guys, and I love the opportunity to research some of these things, because actually the things that I talk about are real important in my own life. And some of these things that we'll be talking about this evening, I've had my struggles with, you'll see what I mean when we get into it a little bit further. And this evening, I'm going to be talking about Christian attitudes, a proper Christian attitude, attitudes that are pleasing to our Father Yahweh and His Son Yeshua. And I always like that idea of walking your talk. In other words, not just talking about the thing that you're supposed to do, but actually doing it. Being obedient to the word. Being obedient to this instruction book. I call it a loving library, with as many books as there are and as many writers as there were, and as many concepts that are explained and that are shown to us to use in our day-to-day life. And I remember when we all used to have these little bracelets, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I like that attitude. I like that kind of a thing. Whenever you come up against something, or come up against, or someone challenges you, or you have a situation where you're not exactly sure what to do, you think, and then you can get into the Word. You find out how did Jesus respond to something like that, and how did some of the patriarchs, some of the other people, the prophets and the apostles, how did they react and how did they respond to some of the challenges that they had. And believe me, when you, we think about 2,000 years ago, they had a lot different trials and tribulations than we do. But basically speaking, it was the personality thing has always been an important part of how people react and how people treat other people. And when we talk about treating other people, of course, our model, our role model is Yeshua. And I want to talk tonight, I want to discuss two basic questions. And the first one is, how do I react to adversity? How do I react to people who aggravate me, or people who challenge me, or people who have probably a completely different perspective on life? And that, those folks, of course, are those that don't believe in God. They may be atheists, they may be... what's a whole bunch of the other kind of categories? The folks that have the humanists, you know, the folks that, and then also you're faced, sometimes you're facing, even in the Christian world, there's so many different groups and so many different ideas as to how things should be done. I was just thinking about the presidential debate that we're going through now, and you look at the probably what 6 or 8 different candidates there, and they normally don't get into anything very spiritual, but you know there's always that everybody has got a label. And so they call Mitt Romney, well, they didn't even call him a Christian, they call him a Mormon. And of course, that's another bag of worms, or can of worms, when you talk about the different Christian groups and denominations and all these kinds of things. And there's always some animosity there. There's always some... maybe some people that are feel that their particular version is better than others. We've got to be very careful about that. And so the main scripture on that, how do I react, is in, Lana, would you look up Colossians 3, and then read 12 through 17. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Now, this is our reaction. The second question that I have, we got to consider, is not only how do I react, but how do I respond to somebody that's belligerent, somebody that's aggressive, somebody that may be attacking me. And that, to begin with, I'd like to suggest that we should try to be a Christian role model. In other words, our response is going to be very critical to how people respond to us. And that main scripture there is going to be Romans 12. Jennifer, do you have your Bible there? Mm-hmm. Romans 12, verses 9 through 19. I've got a lot of scripture here, but those are the two. Lana, would you read that Colossians 3? In other words, how should I react?
Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
That's pretty self-explanatory, isn't that? That covers a lot of territory there. And I'm going to get into it just a little bit further as far as breaking it down a little bit. But, okay, now, how do I respond? On Romans 12, starting, I think, with verse 9 there, or maybe Jennifer.
I'm going to read from the Living Bible.
Yes, okay, good.
Don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of good. Love each other with brotherly affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. And how far did you...
Through 19.
Okay. Be glad for all God is planning for you. Be patient in trouble and prayerful always. When God's children are in need, you be the one to help them out. And get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner, or if they need lodging for the night. If someone mistreats you because you are a Christian, don't curse him. Pray that God will bless him. When others are happy, be happy with them. If they are sad, share their sorrow. Work happily together. Don't try to act big. Don't try and get in the good graces of important people, but enjoy the company of ordinary folks, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil for evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honest clear through. Don't quarrel with anyone. Be at peace with everyone, just as much as possible. Dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. Don't take the law into your own hands.
Good. Now all these things, boy.
That's a lot.
It's easy to read that, isn't it? And you think about that and you say, oh, mackerel. You mean I've got to think about all those things when somebody says something to me? How can I ever come up with an answer that quick? You say, hey, I'll get back to you about that. You know, thanks for attacking me, but I'll let you know how I feel about that next week. Well, I think what we've got to do, our job is to study this word and to reread it and to, it's a kind of a thing where we've got to internalize it. We have to know what it says and we're not going to be perfect. You all know that. There's nobody is perfect except Yeshua, his Father Yahweh. We are work in progress. Each one of us is like a pot being formed by the potter, and the potter is Yeshua, and with his power of the Holy Spirit that can change our lives and can make us into something that's... Well, we're all unique, each one of us. If you were to ask me, well, what kind of a pot would you like to be? Well, I'm thinking about that, you know. If everybody were to answer that, I'm sure that it would be a different type of pot. And you are going to be different, and that is the idea. He created us to be, not to be a robot. We're not robots. And we're not all going to be the same and act the same. Each one of us will have different talents. Each one of us has different gifts. And that's what it's all about. But we don't have to be what was I going to say? We don't have to be ashamed of what we are. And we don't have to hide the things that we are. He wants us to be truthful. Yahweh created us for His enjoyment, for His fellowship. And He knows the future. And of course, we all get bogged down and upset about what is going to happen to me tomorrow, or next week, or next month, or, you know, 10 years from now. Am I going to be Miranda? Am I going to be going into college, finishing college, and then what am I going to do after that? But I mean, we have to take things a day at a time. But we do have to plan also. We have to look at the Word, and we have to understand what He has for us. And He has a different thing. He has some basic things for us, for each one of us. We all have certain attributes that we should be trying to mold ourselves into. Following, as I said, Yeshua's, His model. He's our role model. And talking about role models, Leah, do you have your Bible there?
Mm-hmm.
Would you look up 1 Timothy 4:12? And then I've got a bunch of scripture here that I'm going to ask us to look up, and then I'm going to, as we come along, I'll ask you. Mark, would you get into Proverbs 16:7, and also Romans 14:19, Mark.
14:19.
Romans 14:19. Yeah, and I've got a lot of scriptures which we won't be able to go through, but I'm going to give you some of these that you can write down as we go along here. And we're talking about attitudes. That's one of the things I'm talking about tonight, about being a role model. And a role model will have a good attitude. And if he doesn't have a good attitude, people are not going to follow along and listen to that person. They're not going to appreciate anything that that person does or says unless that attitude is something that attracts them. If they're repelled by an attitude, that's not what we're looking for. We're trying to introduce Yeshua and His mindset and His instructions to the folks that we talk to. And so, go ahead, Leah, what did you find there about the role model? Is there something there in 1 Timothy 4:12, is it?
Yeah, don't let anyone think little of you because you are young. Be their ideal. Let them follow the way you teach and live. Be a pattern for them in your love, your faith, and your clean thoughts.
Okay. Each one of us is in a different stage. Unfortunately, I'm getting old, and but each one of you is much younger, and you have got a lot to give. You're going to be developing further and further, and making. And of course, what is our goal, actually? And I've talked about our goal is, my goal is to please Yahweh. I don't want to grieve Yahweh or Yeshua. I want to make sure that whatever I say and whatever I do is pleasing to our God, to our Lord and Savior. Because that's what it's all about. If we do something that grieves Him, naturally we'll probably pay for it in the end. But right now, we lose that close fellowship. If we are doing something that is aggravating or that it is not pleasing to him, that is something that maybe you're following something in the world too closely and getting involved in something that is deceptive, deceitful. And of course, when we think about Satan, that's what he's all about. He's our adversary. Satan and all his demons and the fallen angels, they're going to be tempting us right and left, every way, especially younger. The younger people have more and more temptation, and each year they have more temptation. And it gets to a point where if you don't have that Holy Spirit, and if you don't rely on your relationship, and you don't claim it, you don't claim it and say, "Hey, Lord, now you promised that you're going to take care of me and save me and watch over me and provide for me and give me what I need." There are several scriptures talking about the Lord never abandon you. He will never leave you alone. He will never let you go. He will never let you fall to a point where you can't be rescued. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have problems, and we're going to have stumbling blocks, and we're going to have all kinds of tribulations. Yes, we will have those, and we will have those. Even now, Satan realizes that he is the time is getting closer and closer to the end when he is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. But in the meantime, right now, he's working overtime. He's going to be hitting us right and left. But we have the Ephesians 6. Write it down, Ephesians 6. You got the armor. Don't forget the armor. He gives us armor. And so he gives us what we need to be victorious. Now, in addition to being trying to be a role model, now it all depends. A role model is just a term, you know, of what I'm thinking that we should try to do and try to accomplish, but sometimes we're going to have a hard time convincing people that they should be like you, especially if you show them that you're not genuine, you're not real. If you show them that you are a fake and you are a bogus kind of a person and don't follow what you're talking about, they're not going to follow you. So in addition, we should attempt to be peacemakers. There's more scripture in this Bible about being peacekeepers and peacemakers than just about anything. That's one of the things that Yeshua wants us to strive for. And that's, what have you got there, Mark, on Proverbs and Romans?
Proverbs 16:17 from the New English Translation, the NET. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Consider what is good before all people. And
right.
Similarly in Romans 14:19, and this one is going to be from the Aramaic English New Testament. Let us strive after peace and after the edification of one another. We're supposed to build each other up.
There you go.
That's what edification is. You're not supposed to be knocking each other down. And all of this reminds me of we're probably going to get to it, turn the other cheek.
Yes.
Kind of a thing.
Yes.
That doesn't mean to moon somebody.
No. We'll strike that. Hi, Ray.
Mark,
welcome.
Welcome. Can you real quick look up that one that says seek peace and pursue it? Because I don't remember where it is, but I want to find it.
Yes. Okay. Seek peace. That's right. We're talking about peacemakers, right?
Peacemakers.
We're talking about attitudes, having the proper attitude and being how we react to adversity, and then how do we respond to some of these aggravations that we face, including how do we respond to people that are belligerent and that give us a hard time. They're aggressive, possibly, because remember, Jesus was always meek and humble, but that doesn't mean that he was weak. Meek and humble has nothing to do with weakness.
Psalms 34:14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
Okay, wait.
There you go.
I tried to find Psalms.
What is that Psalm?
So I can mark it.
Psalm 34:14.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. Seek peace.
Yeah.
Seek peace and pursue it. I heard a really good sermon.
I got it here.
Ago.
As a matter of fact, that
the
was
New
one of
the New Testament equivalent. And this is, the fulfillment in the New Testament or the same teaching in the New Testament. It comes up again in 1 Peter 3:11. And in 1 Peter 3:11, he words it, let him eschew evil, eschew, how do you say that? Thank you. And do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it.
Hmm.
You cause it to happen, basically.
Well, that also, Proverbs 16:7, I thought that was what one of the ones he said.
Yeah.
When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Yeah, that's what I had. And it went through 17. It was 7.
Okay.
Yeah, starting with 7.
I just read 17.
But that's
to
fine.
Start at 7?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I can go back.
Go ahead and read it, starting with 7.
Yeah, I didn't catch the first part of what you said there, I guess. So, backing up just a few. Again, from the NET. Come on, old computer.
Ray, while you're sitting, you got your Bible there, Ray? Would you look up, just give me a minute.
What scripture was that?
Galatians, would you look up Galatians 6:2, Ray? Atlanta, Philippians 4:8. And Jennifer, Luke 6:37. We're talking about attitudes here. Yeah, but go ahead on that.
Starting with verse 7.
Yeah.
When a person's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he even reconciles his enemies to himself.
There you go.
Better to have a little with righteousness than to have abundant income without justice. A person plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps. The divine verdict is in the words of the king. His pronouncements must not act treacherously against justice.
Mm-hmm.
Honest scales and balances are from the Lord. All the weights in the bag are his handiwork. Doing wickedness is an abomination to kings, because a throne is established in righteousness. The delight of kings is righteous counsel, and they love the one who speaks uprightly. A king's wrath is like a messenger of death, but a wise person appeases it. Mm-hmm. In the light of the king's face there is life, and his favor is like the clouds of the spring rain. How much better it is to acquire wisdom than gold. To acquire understanding is more desirable than silver. The highway of the upright is to turn away from evil. The one who guards his way safeguards his life.
Remember King Solomon. The Lord said, what would you like? I'd give you anything in this world. And what did King Solomon answer?
Wisdom.
He wanted wisdom.
Wisdom.
He wanted to be able to, yes, to deal with everybody in a fair and just manner. And not, he didn't, he already basically had everything in the world anyways. He had all the money that he needed. And he had, of course, had a kingly lineage. That's right, and so we should think about that as well. Talking about our attitudes, what kind of an attitude is going to please our Savior? What did you find in Galatians 6:2 there, Ray?
It says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For and then three is, for if a man thinks himself to be something, like great, not very good, when he is nothing, he deceives himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens in this world. And that's what happens with a lot of people when they are trying to build up
their own egos.
Yes, exactly. It's a prideful thing.
You see it in school a lot with kids.
Oh, sure. You see, well, that's right, kids. I'm talking. Right. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. They will understand that. Yeah, that's true. Who had Philippians 4:8? What does it?
Oh, I've got it.
What does that say?
Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
That's our state of mind. That's our attitude. That's the kind of a development, a mindful intellect that we should be thinking about. Those, you have to read those things over and over and over again, because these things, you can't remember these kinds of things. That's why it's so important to stay in the Word. It's so important to spend time every day in the Word. And Jen, Luke 6:37, is it? Do you find something there that talks about?
Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven.
There you go. That brings me into forgiveness. We could talk all day about being peacemakers. We don't have all day to do that. And I could give you about 10 or 12 other scriptures. Hebrews, if you'd like to write a few down here, just for reference and to prove that peacemaking and peacekeeping is so critical. That's one of the things that Yeshua wants you to be very diligent about. Hebrews 12:14, Colossians 3:15, Galatians 5:22, 1 Corinthians 7:15, Romans 8:6. 1 Timothy 2:2, and then you've got 2 Timothy 2:22. And then the Psalms, you've got 37, Psalm 37, verse 37, and Psalm 120, verse 7. And they're all beautiful scripture. And they're very pertinent about peace.
Can you go over those one more time?
Yeah. Starting Hebrews 12:14, Colossians 3:15, Galatians 5:22, 1 Corinthians 7:15, Romans 8:6, 1 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy, notice a lot of these things were written by Paul. 2 Timothy is 2:22. John 14:27. Then we had Psalms 34:14. You already wrote that down. This was one that was brought up by Mark. Psalms 37:37. And finally, last one was that I have here. I mean, there's plenty of others, but Psalm 120, verse 7. Now, what about our behavior? Does that have anything to do with anything? Darn right it does. It's very important. People are watching you. You know, people are observing. And if you want to, you're trying to be a role model, you're trying to convince somebody that Christianity is the way to go, and loving the Lord is something that will, solve a lot of their problems. I mean, people are going to have going to be challenged every day. And this behavior thing is important because people are always looking and watching how you behave. Controlling your temper. Maintaining a calmness. A lot of people just get so agitated and get so upset about every little thing. And me, and I'm this is one of my challenges. And being judgmental about other people. That's a big thing. But behavior, Ephesians, Leah, Ephesians 5:21. Raymond, 1 John 2, verse 3. And Mark, would you check 1 Peter 5, 6?
What was the one that you gave to Ray?
Ray was first. Well, let's see. What did I give you, Peter?
Give me 1 John 2,
3. 1 John 2, 3, yeah. And then the Philippians 2, 3, Miranda. Would you look up Philippians 2,
Miranda's taking a nap.
3? Yeah. No napping. Go ahead. Who did I start with?
John 3.
Ephesians 5. Who's got 5:21? Leah. Yeah. Yeah, Leah. Then we got this temper thing, and that, Proverbs talks about the temper, and I'll get into that. Proverbs is something that it's a wonderful book. It gives you so much practical advice. Go ahead, Leah.
Honor Christ by submitting to each other.
There you go. Remember, Christ has no favorites. He created us all in His image, and He created us to be lovers and to be peacemakers, among some of the other things. What does 1 John have to say there, Ray?
1 John 2:3 says, and hereby, 2:3, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments.
Uh-huh. Commandments are critical, guys. Commandments don't change. Commandments cannot be done away with. If you're going to follow commandments and you leave one out and you don't think one is important, well, you're wrong. What do you have? First Peter?
First Peter 5, yeah. Verse 6 out of the Aramaic English. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the powerful hand of Elohim, and He will exalt you in due time.
That's the thing. We so forget that we don't have to be a big, powerful Schwarzenegger. We don't have to be Donald Trump. We don't have to be somebody that's always thinks that they've got to put on the dog, they've got to do something better than you. That's not the idea. This is not a popularity contest. This is not something, you know, that a show of strength, because we know where the strength comes from and who is the author and who is actually the power source. I just like that idea of connecting into His power, plugging in, and being careful we don't get unplugged. Be careful we don't forget Him. Be careful we don't go along and try to do partly, you know, you look at somebody else and say, you know, I always remember this deal about soldiers in a foxhole. And this one guy in this foxhole, he had the Star of David, and he had the cross, and he had these things. He had the Buddhist flag tied to his jacket, and he had all his other kind of thing, and that he thought, well, I want to be covered by all these, with all these people. Well, you know, that's real silly. It doesn't really hold in it. What about Philippians 2:3? Did I give that to anybody?
Philippians, I have it if nobody else
would
you, does.
Would you,
didn't you have
I got Philippians.
Oh, yeah, okay. Philippians, yes.
Is it 2:3?
Chapter 2.
Yeah.
What is it? Does it say something?
Doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself.
That's right. Yeah. That's good. And that's the kind of thing that we should be looking at. That temper, remember I said we got to be sure we don't get all upset and aggravated over something that somebody says to us. And controlling our tempers, Proverbs 16:32 has something to say about that. It says, better a patient man than a warrior. We don't have to fight these people. We don't have to fight against some of these things. We've got to pray. That's our first obligation. And we will not always get an immediate answer. Sometimes we will. Sometimes we'll get a partial answer. But the Lord a lot of times says, wait. He says, I'll show you. Patience is better than being a warrior. A man who controls his temper is better than one who takes a city. Well,
it's hard to control your temper.
Yes.
It's really a lot of work.
That's called self-control, isn't it? It's called self-control. And it's, you're right.
It is.
We all develop a mode of response. Sometimes, you know, we're too aggressive, and sometimes there's a scripture about a kind word turning away a wrathful person and solving a problem. But self-control is superior to conquest. Success in business, school, or home life can be ruined by a person who has lost control of his temper. So it is a great personal victory to control your temper. When you feel yourself ready to explode, remember that losing control may cause you to lose what you want the most. And that's the truth. I've also got one other thing about, let's see, 22. Chapter 22 in Proverbs talks about that. Proverbs 22:25 says, let's see, 22:25. Okay, I'm going to start a little bit sooner than that. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. We all have had situations with a hot-tempered person.
Fire on you.
Do not associate with one easily angered, for you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. That's what amounts to associating with the right people. Sometimes if you associate and get caught up in a group of people, and this peer pressure thing is something that you will have to fight against. The children especially are under pressure with that. Okay, then I'm getting sort of close to the end here. How should we treat others? What is our personal responsibility? I would suggest compassion. We talked about patience. I would further suggest kindness. And lastly, forgiveness. And Philippians, are you into, who's into Philippians? Lana, were you into Philippians? Would you look up Philippians? Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. Miranda, you were in Philippians. Would you go back to Philippians? Ray, we're talking about compassion here. And compassion goes along with kindness. And so I'm going to ask Ray to look up Romans 11, 22. Mark 2 Corinthians 6, 6.
And Philippians what?
Philippians 4, starting with verse 4 through 9. Would you read that for us?
What was it, Romans what?
You got Romans 11, 22. We're going to talk about compassion and kindness. And the patience, we talked a little bit about patience, but I want you, Lana, to look up Colossians 1:11. And then, Leah, would you look up Galatians 5:22? Okay. Let's go back to that Philippians 4 through 9.
Okay. Rejoice, Yahweh, always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known to all men. Yeshua is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in everything but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Yahweh. And the peace of Yahweh, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in the Messiah Yeshua. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think of all these things, the things which you both learned and received, and heard and saw in me. These things do, and Elohim and peace shall be with you.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's talk about a little bit about patience. Who has Colossians? Did I give Colossians 1, mm-hmm. 1:11, Lana?
Yeah. It actually starts in 10.
Okay. Yes.
Starts at 9.
Go ahead.
That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy.
That's a mouthful, isn't it? With all patience. And joy. I love that joy. You see, joy is attached to a lot of things. It says, yeah, you've got to study. Yeah, you've got to learn this. Yeah, you've got to do this. But be joyful about it. You know? Hey!
Okay.
Be happy that you have got the instruction book. And that you have this, you have what you need. Raymond, what did you have? Romans? Talking about kindness and compassion.
Romans 11:22.
Yes.
Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but towards thee, goodness. If thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off.
All right, well, His goodness, His kindness, His compassion. I mean, when you stop to think about it, guys, we should have been cut off. I should have been cut off, you know. I was cut off for a while. You know, and I came back. But, I mean, we've all done things that we're not proud of. We've all done things that we knew were wrong. And we know we've got to have, we have a certain respect and an awe and a reverence for the fact that, boy, if we can't forgive somebody, and we're getting into that, the last thing I'm talking about is forgiveness, and that leads into the forgiveness. But you got 2 Corinthians, Mark? 6:6.
Give me 2 Corinthians 6:6.
Yeah, what does that have something to do with kindness and?
It does. It has a lot to do about, you know, treating others responsibly. Yeah. Is what we're talking.
Yeah.
About. In the Aramaic English, we kind of see that Paul kind of writes in run-on sentences. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to back up all the way to 4 and read through 10 to get the one sentence as it's in this translation.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and do that.
But we, in all things, would show ourselves to be the ministers of Elohim, in much endurance, in afflictions, in necessity, in distresses, in scourging, in imprisonments, in tumults, in toil, in watching, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Ruach HaKodesh, by love unfeigned, by the speaking of truth, by the power of Elohim, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, amid honor and dishonor, amid praise and reproach, as deceivers and yet true, as not known, and yet we are well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened, yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as in poverty, yet enriching many, as possessing nothing, yet having all things.
Mm-hmm. In other words,
it verse 6 by itself is by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering. We got
yes.
the long-suffering and the patience, I guess. Is
that's right, for the patience thing. That's the angle there. But, you know, it just talks about you, the fact that you don't have to have a whole lot as far as material things are concerned. And we all, some of us, as we get older, we have more available funds, and sometimes we buy things that we really don't need. I bought myself a couple of watches here recently that I love timepieces, and each time I bought those watches, I felt a little bit guilty, because I really could be helping out other people with some of that money. And so we've got to be careful about that kind of thing when he talks about poverty. And we all will go through that. There's these kinds of things are seasonal. You know, as we grow older, we change and we see that we've gone through a certain thing. And a lot of times it helps us to be able to advise and to help others. If we've already messed up in certain things, and we know that we're going to try to save somebody from that same kind of guilt or that same kind of condemnation, and remember he talked about the Lord has no condemnation. He's not going to remember all these little things that we mess up. It's a process, and we're all working towards doing what he wants us to do. Did I ask anybody about Galatians 5:22?
I have it.
Yes.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
There you go. There you go. No law.
I like that. There's no law.
Yeah.
Somebody would try to make a law. But
yeah, no. The legislators wouldn't think about that, would they? The last thing that we want to talk about is forgiveness. And that's one of the hardest things for us all to achieve and to feel that we've accomplished something, that we have really forgiven. And we all have situations. We've all gone through personal situations and maybe corporate situations, maybe institutional kind of situations where we've been wronged. We feel we've been wronged. Now, sometimes we've got to be careful about whether actually we were a party to some of these things that caused a damage or a some kind of a hurt in your life. And so forgiveness is the primary thing when you stop to think about the Lord and what He did for us, and the fact that after He gave His life and was resurrected, he said, "I don't remember your sins." And He talks to each one of us, about ours, about our life, and that's what is known as meditation. And that's what when we talk about prayer, getting into prayer and getting on the same wavelength. We have got to work on this forgiveness thing. And I want to give each one of you a scripture, and we'll end with this. But this is Lana, Proverbs 20, 22, Jennifer, Luke 11, 4, Miranda, Colossians 3, 13, Leah, Matthew 5, 43, James, Book of James 3, 17, and Mark, 1 John 1, 9, and I'll finish with Ephesians 4, 32. Go ahead, Lana.
Proverbs 20:22.
Yeah.
Do not say, "I will recompense evil." Wait for the Lord, and He will save you.
Okay. Recompense. What's that mean?
I don't know.
Mark, what recompense mean? We got a dictionary here.
Recompense is compensation.
Yeah.
Recompense is which is due back to you.
Yeah.
In other words, we're talking about forgiveness here, guys.
Do not return evil for evil.
Yeah. Do not return. That's basically.
Come on.
Yeah. Forgiveness is a big thing in the. You'll look in the Bible, and forgiveness, there's a lot of scripture about forgiveness. Go ahead, Jennifer.
What was it?
You had Luke 11, 4, right around in that area. Look around there and see if if there's anything in addition to the 4.
This is the Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's an important prayer, guys. And I'm sorry to see that prayer is taken out of the schools, isn't it? They probably won't allow that anymore. They don't allow the posting or the Ten Commandments in public.
When we talk about like Mexico history and that, talking about like all kinds of religions, and they never talk about like anything about like any religions at all. Like, we cannot talk about religions at all.
I know. It's a sad thing. Mm-hmm. Our founding fathers would be very sad, along with a lot of other responsible people in our history. What did you have, Miranda? Did you have
Colossians
3:13?
Did you want me to read up just to 13?
Yeah.
Okay. Forbearing one another and forgiving each other, if any man have a complaint against any, even as the Master forgave you, so do so also do you. And above all these things, love, which is the bond of perfectness.
The bond of what?
Perfectness.
Yes, okay. Leah, what did you have there? Matthew 5? 43. Is there something in that area there?
I'm
going to
read on a little more because
yes.
It goes on.
Go ahead.
There is a saying, love your friends and hate your enemies.
Uh-oh.
But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true sons of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and good, and send rain on the just and on the unjust too. You only love those who love you. What good is that? Even scoundrels do that much. If you are friendly only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else?
Mm.
Even the heathen do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect.
See, you know, we're not gonna achieve that perfection for many years. But you know, the key there is, how are you different from the heathen or from the person, the atheist? You know, what kind of love or what kind of compassion, what kind of a different attitude do you have? And it's critical, isn't it? Ray, you've got James 3:17.
Talks about not offending people.
Okay.
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy.
That's good. It's good stuff. You got to think about some of these things. Sometimes you have to read these things two or three times. And you think, oh my goodness. And you can't do it on your own, can you? You're not going to be able to do it on your own. Okay, what do you got? 1 John 1, 9, or somewhere in that vicinity.
From the first letter of Yohanan, as it is said in the Aramaic, verse 9 says, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our iniquities.
That's the bottom line. And we have to be cleansed. We do have to repent. Remember, guys, we can't. This is just not something that we talk about. We've got to do it. We got to talk to Yeshua about this. And we got to make a real commitment. I've got the Ephesians 4:32. And we're talking here do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. And I'll end it right there.
Romans 12 is another good one, 17 through 21.
Yes. Read that. Do you have it?
Mm-hmm. It says, never pay back evil for evil.
That's right.
Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honest and true with you. Don't quarrel with anyone. Be at peace with everyone just as much as possible. Dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to Yahweh, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. Don't take the law into your own hands. Mm-hmm. Instead, feed your enemy if he is hungry. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, and you will be heaping coals of fire on his head. In other words, he will feel ashamed of himself for what he has done to you. Don't let evil get the upper hand, but conquer evil by doing good.
There you go. That's it. good always will conquer evil. That's the way it's going to be in the end. Now it's a real fight, isn't it? We're fighting that kind of thing. That's why it's hard to...
especially when evil masquerades as good.
Well, yes. Satan is a great deceiver, right? He is a killer and a liar. So if we believe him, we're done for. That's the bottom line. Yeah. We've got to follow the Master, Yeshua. Would you end a short prayer, Mark, please?
Yes, let's grab hands here, guys.
Thank you, dear.
I don't care how short it is.
I'm the tallest one here. How do I get short prayers?
Yes, right.
Amen. Father Yahweh, thank you for bringing us all here tonight to study your word. Thank you for the blessing you gave to Bill through your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, and to us to be able to understand that teaching. As we go out, we try to turn the other cheek and have that forgiving attitude to be the shining example of how Yeshua did things here. What would Jesus do? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be that example. And we ask your Holy Spirit again throughout this week as we go out to do that job. In Yeshua's precious name.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.